Look at that. Look, hey, look, we're recording. So, because we're trying something new.
And
So,
it says the
yes.
privacy policy. So wait a minute. Is this going to have a, you're not posting the video file, right?
Well, we will have a video file. So, I suppose that the option is there if we wanted to create a DevOps.fm YouTube. But I'm thinking maybe you should start blurring your background if we're going to do that. I'm just saying.
Well, you think I got a little bit of crap behind me?
Now, of course, I might need to blur my background too because they might think that I'm like a in a some kind of padded room, which actually I am in a padded room.
I was going to say that would be good. So it's funny that you have that. I was going to talk to you about that. Is my son plays Fortnite, as you know, and he is a little bit loud sometimes. And so I was actually shopping today on Amazon.com looking for materials and screens and stuff. Because what I'm thinking is, you know how you can get those little ones that go around the mic, in front of you? I want to put one of those around him and then have a board behind his TV to catch the rest of it. Fundamentally, the problem is that the TV that he's looking at is where you really want the dampening because that's where his voice is going. But unfortunately, if you did that, he wouldn't be able to see.
Yes, that would probably be make Fortnite a little bit difficult.
So the other thing is just to get a box and put them outside inside a box.
I don't see a problem with that either, necessarily.
I don't either. So how you been, Mickey?
Well, Brian, first off, hi and welcome to DevOps FM, episode 5. It is
No,
two.
it's not even
No,
close to
episode
episode.
6. It's episode 6. Let's try that
But
again.
I was gonna say,
Hi,
are you
and
gonna do
welcome
some
to
editing?
DevOps. Yes, so no, I'm not. So
One
hi
more
and welcome
time.
to DevOps. Hi and welcome to DevOps FM, episode 6. It is Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. I'm Mickey Gousset.
And I'm Brian Randall.
And we are, as we do every couple of months, saying that we're going to try once again to get back into the swing of things. But we're trying something new. We're actually using Microsoft Teams to record this. So we'll have a video file. So I would be interested if anyone would be interested in seeing talking heads actually talking, because if so, we might start putting some of this stuff up on YouTube.
Oh God, do we really want to do that? Although I have seen like Paul Theroux does it. They get together and the problem is honestly watching certain people talk is not something I enjoy. In other words, certain people seem very comfortable and other people just look out of place. So I don't know which one I would be at this point.
I think right now, for both our sakes, we probably will just keep it audio only. But
Well, the amount of crap we both have behind us is kind of
true.
good.
We're also doing this to try to see if maybe editing gets a little bit easier and we can get the podcast out just a little bit faster.
And it'd be nice and easy for someone to join us if we were to have our first special guest, which hopefully will happen soon.
That's very, very true because we do want to do interviews, which makes me think, hey, audience, is there someone out there you'd like us to try to reel in to talk to? Is there a white whale out there that you're like, I've always wanted to hear someone interview this person? Well, I tell you what, you send us an email. What's our email address?
The show at devops.fm.
You send us an email at the show at devops.fm, and you tell me who that person is. And I will at least send them an email and ask if they'll come on the show.
Now, what's funny about that is I listened to a podcast. Someone remain nameless because I don't want to make fun of the presenters, but there are two people doing the podcast, and I've listened to easily 50 episodes. And at the end of the show, like we often do, they'll say how to reach them and they'll list, where to get the podcast and all those things. And one of the presenters cannot for the life of himself get it right. And so he's always going to his co-presenter and saying, oh, you just do it. Forget it. He knows like one thing. I think he knows their Twitter handle and that's it. So it's okay that you couldn't remember the email.
What's our Twitter handle?
DevOps FM.
There you go. See?
So that's the funny thing is I had trouble with Twitter because Twitter would not let me do devops.fm.
Well, let's go see. So, yes, you're going to hear us typing as we try to find our Twitter handle.
No, it is devops.fm.
No, it's devops.fm, all one word.
Although it looks like it hasn't been very active. Wow.
We haven't even put the... We've got 55 followers, by the way, but we haven't even listed the last three episodes on Twitter. We suck.
Well, you know what I feel like this is when you think about a DevOps pipeline and you might have different stages, we're still in the dev stage, right? We have not really made it to production yet.
We're still in the 1990s stage.
What does that mean?
Meaning that we're still developing our podcast like we developed software in the 1990s. You just throw crap against the wall and see.
You almost made me spew, okay, by the way. I should not be taking a drink of water while I'm talking to you.
Well, we're going to... Brian and I have had a meeting of the minds and have decided that, you know, maybe Tuesday nights will be the night of choice for us. So we're trying it Tuesday night this week.
Yeah, well, next Tuesday will work for me. And I think it's going to work for you, right? You're not going on the road next week, are you?
Actually, I will be on the road next week, but I'll be available Tuesday night. I am going to that conference.
Oh, I guess that should go on the show notes, although it'll be probably pretty late for people to get tickets at this point.
Hey, why don't we start up a little... I'm going to open my favorite text editor, Notepad.
Not Notepad++? Not Visual Studio Code?
Oh, I love Visual Studio Code, but sometimes with just quick notes, I do Notepad. And so we need to add that conference to the show notes. So I'll make a quick list of show notes stuff. Now, that conference is a conference that's going to be in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. So I get to check Wisconsin off of my list of states I've never been to.
Where are you at right now?
I don't know. I'd have to actually look, but I know that's one of them I haven't. I get to go to Milwaukee, which I've never been to, and then I get to drive for 2 hours. That's going to be fun. But apparently, I need to try cheese curds while I'm in Wisconsin. It's what someone said.
Well, Wisconsin is the land of the cheesehead, so I would understand that.
Now that conference is a big conference, and it's also designed to be more of a family conference. I'm unfortunately only going to be there for 2 days. I'm going to fly in on Tuesday. I'm speaking on Wednesday on feature flags for better DevOps, and then I'll fly back out Thursday because I need to go home and regroup for, drum roll,
VS Live Redmond. Are you priming the pump, or are you?
I am trying to softball it up there, and you are like not paying any attention to me.
I'm completely paying attention to you. You're talking about how you're only up in the Wisconsin Dells for a couple of days. You got to try cheese curds. I heard everything.
So I'll be talking on feature flags on Better DevOps at that conference. And then I'll be at the VS Live Redmond the next week where, funny, my co-host will also be there.
Go figure.
And one of my teammates, Tiago Pascual.
How do you say his last name? Say that again.
I don't. I just call him Tiago. He just calls me. He just calls me Vus.
He calls you Vus?
Vus. Yes, he calls me
really?
Vus.
Oh, I thought he would call you any number of things, but not that. Okay.
So, what do we need to tell people about VS Live?
Well, you know, if we get this episode posted, they still want to come. I'm sure we can squeeze them in. We're over at the Conference Center, Building 33. You get to go to the company store. That's always one of the fun things.
It's on the Microsoft campus.
That's right.
Rock on.
And, you know, we've got some pre-conference hands-on labs. I know Rocky's doing one on cloud native development. Let's see. Jeremy Clark is doing a hands-on on dependency injection. And I think there's something else. I'd actually have to look at the website, but you can always find out the details at vslive.com. And then on Friday, you and I are doing a post-con, a non-hands-on workshop where we're going to talk about Azure DevOps and the latest. I've been poking around at some cool stuff. And in fact, I was looking at the release notes that just came out, and there is lots of good shiny magic that Microsoft has chosen to grace us with
Now, we're talking about the release notes for the Azure DevOps service, correct?
Well, it's Azure DevOps Services, or the service, I guess, in lowercase. But if you look at the release notes page, there's basically Azure DevOps Server, which, by the way, update 1, RC2, came out July 23rd, and you should take a look at that. In fact, I'm going to pause and I want to focus on the server for a second, because I was looking through the release notes, and basically what happens is...
So I'm going to stop you for a second. I'm going to level set, and I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let you finish. No, I just wanted to make sure for people that are picking this up, we're talking about the Azure DevOps server, which used to be Team Foundation server. Obviously, the name change happened about a year ago. And so we're talking about the on-premise version of the all these Azure DevOps things that we always talk about all the time. So I'm going to be quiet and let Brian talk now, because I'm not going to show you the rude thing that he just did to me. Or wait, maybe I will.
I didn't do anything rude. Why was there anything rude there?
He scares me when he frowns at me.
Is that what you think?
That's what it is. All right, so go on. What you want to talk about? Azure DevOps Server, the on-prem version of...
Well, I was just going to talk about the update. And the update is important, because that'll get you closer to what's up in the cloud, right? The server is always a bit behind, because the cloud is, you know, updating, well, really every day, as we like to say, but they do a constant, you know, 3-week cadence, where every 3 weeks they kind of batch a bunch of stuff and it rolls out over the service. And if you go through the release notes, you'll see that you'll get things like the dark theme. There's a bunch of new things like the new basic process. You can set the value order on a work item form, and all sorts of other things. But I was looking through there, something caught my eyes that's kind of scaring me. Feature enablement is no longer available.
Woo-hoo. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, so one of the things that happens is Microsoft understands when you're on-prem, you may want to move a little slower. And so when you install a new version of the server, so you're upgrading, say, from 2017 to 2018, for example, they might have added new features, and they have those under what they call the feature enablement section that allows you to turn things on for a particular team project. So examples of this might have been, you know, code review, my work, et cetera. And this was meant to do it automatically based upon you not customizing your work item template. If you customize your work item template, you might have to do some stuff by hand. What it looks like they're doing, as far as I can tell, is moving forward, if you're on the old XML customization format for the server, you'll now have to manually update them starting with this new update of Azure DevOps Server 2019. What I basically figure is it's just coming down to they're moving forward. The first version of TFS having shipped all the way back in 2006. And now, as we enter those teenage years with the product, they're starting to try and move away from basically maintaining all that old code. And so they're trying to move on to these newer features. So it's in the release notes, but that's why you really should take a look at this stuff, and hopefully you're keeping your on-prem current. Now, one of the best ways to avoid having to keep your on-prem current, of course, though, is to do what, Mickey? Go to the service. Go to the cloud.
Go to the cloud.
Go to the cloud.
Hey, Julie. For those of you that don't know, I just saw Brian's significant other walk through the background, and I waved at her.
And then she said hello right back at you. So this is the joy of working at home. And in fact, did you pick her up on the back of the camera at all? Could you see her?
Yeah, I saw her. Oh, I could see her.
Yeah, my wife will probably not sign our release agreement to show this.
So video. I guess we will not be releasing the video for this.
At least not this one. But anyway, currently, if you're on the service, the great thing is you don't have to worry about that, because Microsoft takes care of the updates. And currently, we are in Sprint 155. 155 came out yesterday? They started the roll
last week.
No, yesterday, 729.
Yesterday. Yes, I just can't read.
Okay. So Sprint 155 has a lot of goodness in it, and it basically, depending on when you hear this podcast, it could be rolled out to your tenant, or it might not have made it, because they do what's called a ring-based deployment. You can read an article about that. I know the Rangers did one on it, et cetera.
I know I should know the answer to this, but when I'm looking at the page, because there's a page, and we'll put this page in the release notes, that shows you what's in every sprint. And this page will actually show you what's in every sprint all the way back to
forever
first got started. But you'll notice that the page was last updated, or was updated 7/29, but it lists this as being sprint, the sprint being July 22nd.
Does it?
It does.
Oh, so someone went and updated. Oh, look at that. You're right. So July 22nd.
I think it rolled out on July 22nd, and then
someone did an update.
Updated since then.
Mm, which, yeah, is, so, which is actually fine. So it looks like I'm the stupid one this time.
No. You're the pretty one.
Well, and the other thing, of course, to note is if you go to the root of your organization, so dev.azure.com, and then your organization URL, when you scroll down to the on the homepage, you will see which sprint your org is on.
Dude, cool. I did not realize that was there.
You did not, huh?
I did not. See, that's awesome. See, every once in a while, you can surprise me, Brian. Well, in case y'all haven't noticed, Brian and I flip around to lots of different topics all at the same time. So hopefully, you know, you're following along. Back to Sprint 155.
I think this is a bit of a disjointed episode as we get back in our group. It's summertime. I mean, I think that's part of the problem, right?
Possibly. Possibly. At least my air conditioner is finally working.
We have an air conditioning issues today?
I'm not today, but last week I had 4 days where the air conditioner did not work in the house because the fan went out.
That could be bad considering you live in Tupelo, Mississippi.
That's right. Do you know what Tupelo, Mississippi is world famous for?
Yes. Thank you. Do you want me to tell people? Yes.
It is the birthplace of Elvis Presley, baby. Now, back to Sprint 155, the update. Is there anything in that particular update that you're excited about? Because there's a couple of things in it that really have me a little bit jazzed.
Well, I would say so. Okay. In Azure Boards, I like the new insights they're adding with the reporting and analytics that you can get right to from your sprint. Those look interesting, although I haven't played with them much. The one that's just adding stress to my life is trying to learn all the goodness that is multi-stage YAML pipelines. There is a bunch of updates there. So that's got a lot going on.
Oh, the approvals. I didn't catch that. They added approvals in this.
Yep. That has been something people have been asking for.
For those of you that don't know, multi-stage pipelines, so are the ability to create a YAML file, a code file, that has both your build and your release all in one file. Or you could have files that call files, things like that. But it's not using the GUI. It's making a YAML-based, code-based build and release. And this is something that's been asked for a while. We had build, but we didn't have release. So we've rolled this out in preview back in end of May. And we've been iterating over it. And now one of the big things that was missing was the ability to approve going from one stage to another stage. And now it looks like they've added that. So rock on.
Yeah. So there's a lot of goodness around multi-stage YAML pipelines. They've done some work on repos. Artifacts got a new caching feature. You can share your packages publicly with public feeds. That's a big one. I know Oren Novotny has been asking for that for a while. So that'll make him pretty happy. And we got some new Terraform integration, and looks like some integration with Google Analytics is coming soon as well. So lots of good stuff out there, as usual. I mean, it's been a busy year. So where are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is the 11th update for 2019, for calendar year 2019.
Now, what I've liked is, in one of the previous sprints, we added the ability to log in using your GitHub ID. If I remember correctly. I like that. But now what we've done to make it even easier for people is you can invite GitHub collaborators into Azure DevOps using GitHub identities.
So
which makes it a lot easier to bring all these people that are working on the project in GitHub to give them access to, say, the pipelines to help with building out the pipelines. Or access to work item tracking.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more GitHub integrations, just making, you know, basically bringing Azure DevOps love to GitHub and GitHub love to Azure DevOps. So you really can mix and match the features you like most.
So I need to go back through this. There's some extra goodness in here that I did not realize came out in this particular sprint. It's hard to keep up because I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's every 3 weeks that we're rolling out new changes, and you know they're each feature team that sends out emails letting us know internally what they're working on and what's coming next and all. But it's still hard to just keep track of what all's coming out because there's so much goodness coming out every 3 weeks. It's amazing. I'm a little biased.
Well, that's okay. You know, your bread is buttered, I guess.
Well, I've been biased even before I started at Microsoft because, you know, I've loved this tool since 2005.
That's right. So speaking of 2005, so one of the things that happened was in July 1st, I was renewed again as an MVP in the developer tools, although they keep changing our name. I have no idea what we are.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yes, it was. It's quite nice to be renewed again. I think I'm at year 16. Is it 16? Something like that. 16 years. That just means I'm old. But it's really nice to be a part of the community. So I'm very thankful to be recognized for this. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, it's like the train does not stop moving on us. It is just wild and crazy time. But I've had a good July. I've been home all month. And hitting the road next month, VS Live, as we've talked about. And then I'm going out to Michigan to do some training on site for a customer.
You'll be relatively close to me in that we'll both be in states that start with an M because I'll be in Massachusetts.
What are you doing? Are you going to be doing a customer migration or something?
I'll be helping a customer get more DevOps-y. So as part of my job on the DevOps customer advisory team, we go out and we work with customers. We'll take a team and one of their applications, and honestly, we try to make it more DevOps-y. And whether that's helping them with pipelines, whether that's helping them with testing or Azure boards or whatever it might be, it could be we're helping them get their containers deployed and running in Kubernetes. It varies. So I'll be out in just about 30 miles outside of Boston. So I think I'm going to try to look up our friend Ben Day and make him take me to dinner.
So help me out here. First of all, DevOpsy. Is that a word?
That's my word. That's the word that I use. You know, all these other people have their, you know, Donovan rubs DevOps on it. I actually think Damian Brady came up with the word DevOpsy, but I'm now co-opting it to be my word.
Ah, Damian Brady. So Damian is a cloud developer advocate. And he is out of the lovely country of Australia, and you were with him last week. Is that right?
I was with him last week because I was Kansas City Developer Conference. So I was at the Kansas City Developer Conference, which is a really big conference. There was about 2,200 people there. It's like the 10th or 11th year of the conference. I think it was the 11th year of the conference. I was out there speaking on pipelines, CI/CD, or continuous delivery with Azure DevOps. And eating some really good barbecue at a place called Joe's Barbecue.
Ooh, I like barbecue.
Which was really, really good. Really cool thing that happened is as you know, if you've listened to this show at all, that one of my games that I play is Hearthstone, which is an online collectible card game. And one of the podcasts I listen to is called Well Met. And I happened to meet the host of that podcast at the Kansas City Developer Conference because he happens to be a developer in Kansas City. So I'm giving a quick shout out to L. Dorian, J.R. Cook, who's the host of the Well Met podcast, because he actually gave me a shout out on his podcast this week.
And what did he shout out to you?
He just said, this is a shout out to Mickey. We went to dinner and we hung out for a couple of hours, and he just wanted to say, you know, thanks for meeting up. And I've actually been helping him a little bit with some Azure DevOps questions because he's championing Azure DevOps in his organization and doing all kind of really pretty fancy CI/CD pipelines.
So it's funny you mentioned fancy CI/CD pipelines. So this last week, the good folks at Docker held a webinar, and, you know, a couple of years ago, Mickey and I, with my partner Ian Griffiths and our friend Ben Day, helped out the DockerCon. So let me back up. The Docker folks at their conference called DockerCon, and we ran some hands-on labs in Azure for them. They wrote the labs that we provided the infrastructure on top of Azure and some tooling that we had written called Valhalla. But anyway, in doing so, that we got to know the Docker folks, and of course, we went to the conference, and so they have my email address, and I'm sure they have it as well, because I have, you know, a Docker Hub account. And so I get these emails occasionally for webinars. And, you know, a lot of times I'm busy traveling on the road or working, but I was at home working and I thought, oh, this looks kind of cool. And they were doing a container specific CI/CD pipeline, which is what you would expect. But what was trippy was just listening to the world outside of the world I live in. So obviously Azure DevOps is where I spend most of my time. Yet we know that the world is diverse out there, the technologies and tools out there. And so that was really cool because they showed using GitHub was where they were hosting their code, but their pipeline was, they were using Travis, they were using something called Shepherd for Docker, something called Tiger VNC was they were using to log in remote to their components. They're hosting them on AWS. And it was just interesting. And the web server was, you know, all written in Node.js. And it was just like, wow, just looking at all these things flying around, but then looking at it and go, you know, they could do everything here with Azure pipelines and GitHub as well. So it was just really cool to see all the stuff that was going on.
Interesting. So was that webinar recorded? Is that something that's linkable?
So, you know, it was recorded, and if the link is public for anybody to go to, which I'm sure it is, I will put it in the show notes.
Okay, excellent. So Travis, I've actually worked with us. Travis is a build that I've actually helped people move from Travis to Azure Pipelines. So you're right. Everything you listed could indeed be done on Azure Pipelines.
Yeah, here.
Oh, I lost you. We lost your audio, brother Brian. You're talking?
I'm talking. I'm back now.
You're back.
Hit a button. So they were showing a bunch of stuff. So they had GitHub. They were doing dev stage and master branches. They're using Docker Hub. And then they were doing, what else were they doing here? Travis CI. They were doing that for build, test, and stage and deployed with Docker containers. And they were using Travis CI for that. And then what else did they do here? And then they're doing some CD automation with Docker Swarm and Stack Deploy, as well as that thing called Shepherd that I mentioned. So, you know, it was just interesting really to see the way they built their pipeline and the way they did it. But yeah, just seeing how the rest of the world works was very interesting to me.
You got to broaden your horizons every once in a while, Brian. Break out of your shell. I mean, you're a very closed person. You don't talk to people. You're not very energetic.
Well, I'm very shy. You know that. You're
very, very shy. Lord.
But yes, I will. They did send me a link to the webinar, so I'm sure it's available publicly up on YouTube, so I'll include it.
So Brian, bombshell. Oh, wait. So you, let's see, what's the polite way to say this? You like butt dialed me from a baseball game.
Yes, I did. So last Friday, a friend of my wife's was her son is a pitcher for the Orioles. And the Orioles were in town playing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Used to just be the Anaheim Angels and the California Angels, and these people are just nuts. The bottom line is it's the professional baseball team, one of the two in the greater LA area, along with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Anyway, so we went to the Angel game to watch the Orioles play. And the Orioles, first of all, beat the crap out of the Angels. It was just horrible for the home team. But going to the baseball game in the summer is awesome. Got to have some sausage. Got to have some peanuts, got to have some nice cold beer, got to sit there with my honey and just watch baseball. That was great. Not to be working is also awesome. So yes, that was good. But yes, somehow, some way, my phone when I was going to do something. I ended up hitting one of my favorites, who happens to be you.
Oh, I was going to ask you what you got to eat, because I've only been to a couple of baseball games, but I always like getting peanuts at the baseball games.
Yeah, because the problem with being in Tupelo, you got to go to Atlanta to get the Braves, right? Is
really Atlanta would be the closest. Now, if I wanted to do minor league, the Cardinals actually have minor league in Memphis.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah, so, minor league can be good too. We have quite a few in the area. We get we have the Quakes, which is one of the close. And I honestly, I can't remember if they're A ball, double A, triple A, but that's occasionally fun to go to as well.
I want to go to an NBA game because we have the Memphis Grizzlies. So Memphis is only an hour away. So I've never been to an NBA game before. So at some point in time, I will try to go to an NBA game.
So that's what, about an hour from your house? Is that
yes, right? It'd take me about an hour and a half to get to the downtown Memphis, to the Coliseum.
Hey, and speaking of driving, something magical happened for you today.
Well, no. So yesterday, or a couple days ago, I'm at Kroger. For those of you that don't know, Kroger is a grocery store, and I'm buying all my groceries, and I go to start my car. My car starts, and then I hear clack, 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 and then it goes dead. So I try to start my car a couple more times, and then smoke starts coming out from underneath the hood. So something is catching on fire. So we disconnect the battery, and I think maybe it's the starter, right? Because when you turn the key, everything goes dead. Thinking it's the starter. So got it towed to the dealership, and they called me a couple hours later, called me Monday afternoon, and said basically that the timing chain had broken, and it was skipping time, and all the skew. For those of you that know a lot about cars, feel free to laugh at me, but all the pistons and bearings and all the other things in there were hitting things they weren't supposed to hit. So Brian is laughing with his mic turned off right now at me. So they said that, you know, $5,000, we could put a new engine in. Now, this is a 2011 Chevy Impala with 200,000 miles on it. So that was really not, if you're talking, I can't hear you.
No, we do not put new engines in 200,000 mile 2011 Impalas.
Now,
no.
And I was trying to make the Impala last because I mostly use the car just to get to and from Memphis when I'm flying. But I went to back to the dealership today because I got to have a car, and ended up walking off the lot with I went to look at a Chevy Equinox, and ended up walking off the lot with a Chevy Equinox.
Well, your timing, at least in that regard, couldn't have been better, because anybody who's bought a car in the United States knows, or hopefully knows, that the best time to buy a car is end of a period for those dealers, because they're always trying to push, number one, what's on their lot, and they will always have some kind of incentives. Unfortunately, and I can get a link to this in the show notes, we've seen the seventh month in new car sales decline in the U.S., so it's not good for the auto folks. So they were going to bend over backwards to get Mickey to drive off in a new car, not a used car or anything else.
Because I went there to look at one of the used Chevy Equinoxes, because that was going to fit where I estimated my payment. And they ended up sending me off the lot with a 2019 Equinox at the same payment that I wanted to come in at with the used car.
That's fantastic. I love it.
Dwayne Blackman Chevrolet, or Frankie Blackman Chevrolet, Chevrolet place in Tupelo. Can't remember your name right now. Sorry, it's late. But they did an awesome job of helping me out there, and Corey took really good care of me. That's one of the first times I've gone to deal with a car and not felt like someone was trying to pull one over on me.
Well, that's good. Well, you deserve it, and that'll make those drives back and forth to Memphis, let alone around town, a lot more comfortable. So the pictures you sent me looked really good, and I like the interior looks really comfy. That's probably one of the best things.
It's like Nighthawk gray is the name of the outside color, and then the inside is a two-tone, kind of a dark gray and a light gray. So it's I gotta admit, it's kind of it drives kind of nice.
It's everybody's got to have a new car at least once in their life. It's a good thing.
I think the last time I had a brand new car that I bought for me was 1993.
Now I'm still, my last time my car that I still drive is a 2008 model that I took delivery in December of 2007. So I'm getting on 12 years. And then
in summer of 2008, you broke my neck in that car. But that's a story for another podcast.
I did not break your neck. You just may have gotten a little whiplash or something. Speaking of which, that's a great song by Metallica. And I tweeted this recently this week. My daughter, who is 12, we were talking, and she goes, "Oh, do you know that song Fuel?" And I go, "Yeah, that's a really good song." And so is For Whom the Bell Tolls, and Seek and Destroy, and oh yeah, and Enter Sandman. And that was just, that made my heart just, the angels opened up, or maybe it was the demons, but anyway, it made me just super excited. So I tweeted on Twitter about it, posted a couple of pictures from when I last saw Metallica up in Seattle. But yeah, that was a great moment as well. Well, I think we did good getting back in the groove tonight. We weren't very deep on the DevOps stuff, folks, but we're all alive, and hopefully you see we do care about y'all that are listening to us.
But and hopefully you've probably realized that if you really did subscribe to this podcast, that while we are going to talk some DevOps at some point in time, whether it's Azure DevOps or DevOps in general or other DevOps, Brian and I also are using this as an excuse just to pretty much talk about whatever comes to mind. So hope that's okay.
Yeah. So Mickey, what can't you let go of this week, this month, this last couple months since we haven't talked?
Well, I don't want to let go of my checkbook anymore. After doing the air conditioning, the new car, the car tag on the new car, I just want to take my little checkbook, which is really, really thin now, and just hide it away where no one else can see it. Unfortunately, tomorrow is the end of the month, which means first of the month bills are coming up.
Well, hopefully there'll be some money coming from Microsoft to keep you out of debtor's prison.
I really hope that my paycheck comes, but I feel pretty confident that it will.
Okay. You didn't get a Dear Mickey email this month, did you?
No, not yet. Now, after they listen to this podcast, who knows? But what about you, Brian? What can you not let go of?
Well, I continue
to sleep. I'm going to delete the entire audio recording.
Well, no, you don't need to do that because I have other things, but the sleep thing is interesting because I've been tracking it with my Apple Watch and an app called Auto Sleep. And it's really cool because it gives me a nice breakdown of how I sleep and everything else. And so it's just been helping me try and get a little more healthy, you know, trying to walk, lose weight, track my weight and stuff. In the fun department though, probably the cool things is, yeah, I'm really enjoying, yeah, I just love music. And so the couple of things that have come up recently, of course, is got some good rock and roll with Volbeat. Volbeat's got some new music coming out. And this is particularly good for you, Mickey, because you will get the, the reference, but you'll get an idea of who they're fans of by the title of their latest track they released from their upcoming album. It's called Pelvis on Fire. So Volbeat, if you don't know, is a Danish band that mixes rockabilly with hard rock heavy metal. And so they've just got a very unique sound. And this new album that's coming out August 2nd is going to be really fantastic. So I'll put a link to the show notes for that. But Pelvis on Fire, check it out. It's online and everything else. And then the other thing, of course, is next month we have another album coming out by someone I also thoroughly enjoy, and you guys can laugh at me later, but I love Taylor Swift, and I'm looking forward to her new album as well. So
I think that requires, when the album drops, Brian will have to karaoke Taylor Swift on the podcast.
Here's the thing. There are a number of bands that you might ask me to karaoke, but of all the ones that you want me to do, Taylor Swift is not one, considering how bad I sing.
So, Brian, how do people get hold of us if they really care? I mean, we've told them earlier, but, you know.
Well, they can go to DevOps. DevOps.fm is the podcast website. You can find us on iTunes, although I need to get on. I guess there are other services we can publish on as well, but we're up on iTunes as well as the link on the show notes lets you get straight to the download. In addition, you can reach us on email at the show. So theshow@devops.fm. And of course, at DevOpsFM on Twitter, or I'm at Brian Randall, BrianR@mcwtech.com.
I am at Mickey_Gousset. Don't try to spell it. Just look for it in the show notes or do a search and you might get lucky. Or you can always find me at Mickey.Gousset@Microsoft.com or at MickeyGousset.com or at, no, that's about it.
I think that's good for you.
Well, thanks you for that. Wow, it's late. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of DevOps.fm or good. DevOps.fm. I don't know. I don't. We'll figure it out.
But I tell you, this we're really bad. So here's the thing: is this the after show now?
Yeah, this is the after show. But well, here's the thing. Well, you go first because I have a thing too.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is we are really bad out of practice, but you look awfully warm, and it's, what, almost 11 o'clock for you at home? So I'm not sure this time is going to work well for you.
No, it'll work. It'll work fine. I mean, and I think, you know, and right now we're both recording from home. You know, I'll have my travel equipment when I start traveling, so the audio quality may be a little bit different. But what was I going to say? I had something I was going to say. Oh, this is the first. So for our other shows, and you're going to go, wow, you really prepared for the other shows compared to this one. For the other shows, we've always had like a OneNote. We've actually kind of had things listed out, and we kind of tried to list what we want to say, you know, at the beginning or the end or things like that, so that we actually sound professional. This one, we just completely winged it. And I actually thought it went kind of well. I think we're at our better when we're having to completely wing things.
Well, I don't know. I keep hitting my head, but I don't know. Well, definitely, I think we should go back to having some kind of outline to go through. And definitely any links we're going to give out, we should have in advance. That might be a good thing.
Yes. No, I think we obviously we got to do probably a little more prep next time, but we'll see. As long as downloads continue to go up, which they really can't go down because they've been zero for months. I think we'll be okay.
All right. Well, on that bombshell, good night, Mickey. It was great talking to you.
All right. Good night, Brian.